The thing about conciseness is it's not a command that is simple for our minds to understand. When we say be concise, that is not something that we instinctively know how to easily respond to. When you break something into steps and you're explaining it step by step, it forces you to simplify it because you can only cover one thing at a time. So your mind starts to sort it and sequence it. And when it's sorted and sequenced, you will deliver it more concisely.
Welcome to The Art of Speaking Up, a podcast that helps professional women access the limitless potential that lies within them. I'm your host, Jessica Guzik, and my mission is to help you find that spark inside you that has the power to transform your career in ways you may not have thought possible. I'm so excited that you're here. And now, on to the show.
Welcome to the podcast. Thank you so much for tuning in. My name is Jess. I am a New York Times featured podcast host, and I am a career coach for ambitious women who want to build confidence and find their voice and really thrive as leaders in their corporate careers. So if that is something that you are interested in, you are in the right place. And today, we are talking about something that I love talking about and that I've been talking about a lot lately on the podcast, and that is the art of verbal communication. Verbal communication is one of the most important levers when it comes to your professional success. And the reason why is because the people in your organization who have the most power and influence when it comes to your professional growth and when it comes to you getting promoted and rising upwards in your organization, the people who have the most influence over whether that happens to you tend to be the people who are most senior or most executive. And the people in your organization who are most senior and most executive, their exposure to you is primarily going to come from experiencing your verbal communications. They're not necessarily with you day to day when you're executing your work. Really, their main way of experiencing you and understanding who you are and what you bring to the table is when they are in meeting rooms that you are in. And this is why it's so critical that you have really strong verbal communication skills so that you can seize those opportunities to impress them. Now, a lot of people get stressed out by this idea because they think that in order to be good at verbal communication, they have to be perfect all the time, naturally good at it, naturally extroverted, naturally charismatic, never nervous, never doubting themselves. And what I want to offer is that it's possible to be a really powerful verbal communicator without those things being true. I was far from a perfect verbal communicator in my career. But the way that I created success was finding the things that worked and leaning into those things. You don't need to be picture perfect when it comes to your voice and how you speak at work and how you speak around executives. You just want to find the places where you're able to grow and stretch and shine and lean into those really, really heavily. And one of those places, one of the things that can really help you stand out is being concise in your verbal communication. Conciseness is one of the number one goals that my clients have when I am supporting them. And it's a really, really smart goal because when you are concise, not only are you using your audience's time effectively, but I think people actually underestimate what I think is the real benefit of conciseness. For me, it's not necessarily the idea that executives don't have a lot of time, so you got to be concise and get to the point. True, but I don't think that's where the real power lies in conciseness, in my opinion. In my opinion, the true power of conciseness is when you are concise, your audience can take in what you are sharing very, very easily. And when they do that, that's what creates a fertile soil for what I like to call mic drop moments. I loved having a good mic drop moment when I was in my corporate career. A mic drop moment, or the way that I think about it, is when you share something with executives and they are either having a moment of epiphany, a moment of breakthrough, a moment of something clicking in their minds. You share something with them in a way they've never seen it before, or you share a piece of information with them that they've never seen before, and it lands and it clicks and they are super impressed and super engaged. Sometimes when we have mic drop moments, our audience is really quiet because they're really taking it in. And sometimes they're very, very talkative because it's eliciting a lot of thoughts for them. But in order to create these mic drop moments and in order to have these instances where your audience is very impressed by what you're sharing, the stuff that you share has to be simple and it has to be concise, because you can't have mic drop moments if your audience is in their heads trying to just make sense of what you are saying. It's kind of like when you go to the movies. I'm someone who gets very quickly confused when I'm watching a movie, and I'm constantly asking my partner, like, do we know who this person is? Are we supposed to know what's happening? Because I get really stressed out if something's happening in the movie and I'm not sure if I'm supposed to understand it or if they're going to reveal more information later. But anyway, it's really hard to enjoy a movie when you're getting very confused about what's happening. And you're like, wait, who's this character? Why are they going there? I think I might have missed something. But when a movie is flowing and you're not asking yourself those questions and you're just in it and the story is making sense, that sets you up to have those moments where you're like, oh my gosh, this movie is incredible. Or to have those moments where the credits go up in the movie theater and you're like, oh my gosh, what did I just watch? I don't know about you, but I love that feeling when a movie ends and you're just so lost in it and you feel that mic drop experience right at the end of the movie. I will tell you, fun fact, two movies that really did that for me in a profound, profound way. One was Phantom Thread and one was a movie called Arctic. Both of those movies just had such a mic drop ending. They're kind of both really heavy, intense movies, so I don't think I'll ever watch either one of those again, but they were incredible. But anyway, it's really hard to have that experience when you are in your head analyzing and trying to understand the movie. You really have to be present and really clicking with what's happening in order to get absorbed into it, and then in order to have that reaction of awe and feeling impressed. And your communication in a corporate setting is the same. If your audience is spending time in their head being like, oh, I didn't understand that. What is that? Does that make sense? I don't get this. If they're busy doing that, they can't fully engage with what's in front of them, so they can't have that moment of awe, and it's harder for you to create that mic drop experience. But when your stuff is simple and when you're concise, when you speak, it's like you're showing them a movie where it's easy to understand what's going on and where they're not getting lost or confused about the plot. So it sets them up then to get really absorbed in it. And then by the end of the movie, when the credits roll, or wherever you get to the part of your presentation or meeting where you're sharing something of big significance and something that's very important, they will be ready to receive it. They will be present and it will have that bigger impact on them. Conciseness helps you have mic drop moments. It helps your audience be more present because what you're sharing is simple. It's easy to digest. And so they don't waste brain space trying to understand it. So their brains are available to go deep into the content with you and therefore to have those breakthrough, incredible mic drop moments. This is why I think conciseness is super powerful. I don't really like to go down the road of, oh, conciseness is important because executives are busy and you don't want to waste their time. Well, that's true. I find that to be a really stress-inducing thought. So I prefer to value conciseness for the magic and power that it can create in a room, because that feels like a more uplifting, motivating reason to try to be concise. Okay, so here's what I'm going to be covering in today's episode. What I'm going to be covering are three things. One, I'm going to talk about why people think that they struggle with conciseness. Then I'm going to talk about why they actually struggle with conciseness, because it's not the reason that many people think it is. And finally, I'm going to share with you how I make conciseness more doable, because it can be challenging, but it doesn't have to be challenging. Before we go deeper into this, and before I take you through these three pillars, I have an important update. And you might notice that this episode dropped on a Monday, which is not my usual publishing schedule. The reason why is because I've got lots of bonus episodes coming this week. And the reason that I do is because it's Academy season. So whenever I open enrollment for my group program, the Art of Speaking Up Academy, I like to do lots of bonus episodes and lots of extra content in honor of doors opening. And I wanted to let you know a couple of things. I wanted to let you know that doors are opening this Wednesday. And I also wanted to let you know that there is a possibility that the program will fill up quickly because more than half of the spots have already been filled in early enrollment. So if you are interested, I highly recommend adding yourself to the waitlist so that you get the email right when regular enrollment opens, right when doors open, so you don't miss the chance to be in the next cohort. And for those of you who are like, what's the Art of Speaking Up Academy? It is my small group program. It is a curriculum-based program that I created to help you become a more confident, effective communicator. Inside this program, I walk you through my proprietary tools, and the goal that we are working on is helping you learn to articulate your ideas very clearly, helping you build the courage and the confidence to take up more space and speak up more in meetings, and helping you learn how to speak in a way that is super polished, super persuasive, and most importantly, super executive friendly. What I love most about this program and the reason I believe the Academy is such a powerful experience is because in addition to helping you deepen your verbal communication skills, I also guide you through the inner work to help you strengthen your mindset and grow your confidence because ultimately, the more confident you are, the stronger and more effective your verbal communication will be. And the stronger and more effective your verbal communication is, the more impact you will have and the faster you will move upwards within your company and throughout your career. If you are ready to experience this and if you're ready to uplevel your confidence and your communication skills, I want to invite you to enroll. Like I mentioned, doors open on Wednesday, and I recommend getting on the waitlist at jessguzzettcoaching.com/academy so that you are able to get one of the last remaining spots in the upcoming cohort. I will drop the link in the show notes or head over to jessguzzettcoaching.com/academy and mark your calendar for Wednesday, March 13th. That is when enrollment opens. And with that, we're going to dive deeper into conciseness, and I'm going to walk you through the first pillar that I mentioned, which is the reason people think that being concise is hard for them. The reason that people think it's hard for them, or at least the reason that I see very frequently as a coach who works with so many professionals on their verbal communication, is people think that they are not inherently good at verbal communication. They think that it's a gift that some people have and other people don't have, and they struggle to be concise, and they think it's because they're just lacking in the innate talent. And while it's true that people have various levels of verbal communication skills and not everyone's skill level is necessarily at the same place, I do think there is an element of, for some people, words just come really naturally. I am one of those people, and that's something that I've noticed as I work with all different kinds of professionals and see that for some of my clients, the words come easily, and then for other people, it can feel more challenging. And neither is right, neither is wrong. We all have different gifts and different strengths, but I think what people underestimate is how learnable verbal communication is. And even if it doesn't come naturally to you, when you have the proper tools to develop it as a skill, you can grow significantly. And that brings me to the second piece that I want to walk you through in today's episode, which is the real reason people struggle to be concise. The real reason that people struggle to be concise is because being concise is hard. And I'm going to explain to you why it's hard using a concept that I call the third task. So first, I'm going to explain to you what the third task is, and that is going to help you understand why you might struggle to be concise. Okay, so what is the third task? So when we are speaking and when we are communicating, we are doing a few different tasks at once. This is why communication and speaking is challenging, because there's a lot of moving parts. So I think about it as happening in a series of tasks. So the first task that's involved when it comes to verbal communication is we have to think about, what am I going to share? What information am I going to share? Am I welcoming everyone to my meeting? Am I explaining to someone what they're seeing on this slide? Am I talking to my boss about how recruiting is going on my team? So the first thing we're doing is we're thinking about, what is the content? What is the idea? What is the thing that I want to speak about? And that thing might be super, super scripted. It might just be something that we're, you know, thinking on the fly and speaking on the spot. But regardless of whether it's scripted or whether we're thinking on the spot, part of the task of speaking is to identify what it is we want to say. That is what I think of as task number one. Okay, but that's not the only task, because once we identify what it is we will be talking about, what it is we will be saying, what is our core content? Am I saying hello to people? Am I explaining data to people? Am I walking people through a three-part marketing plan? Once we have the answer to that question, in whatever context it is we're going to be speaking, then we have to do what I call the second task. The second task is we have to open our mouth and actually say the words. And these are two different things. Thinking about the content and thinking about, what am I about to talk about, is different than opening your mouth and saying the words. We know this because when we speak, it's not a perfect monologue of everything that's in our head, right? We're selectively deciding what it is we're going to share. We're choosing where to focus, and we're choosing what it is we're going to speak about. So we have the act of choosing and focusing and figuring out what the topic is, and then we actually have to move our mouths and speak. This is why speaking can be hard, because we're doing these two things dynamically and it can feel scary. We're thinking of what to say, we're speaking, we're hearing ourselves speak, right? There's a lot going on. And by the way, this doesn't even include the fact that as we're hearing ourselves speak, we're having thoughts about what we're saying. I'm not even including that in today's episode, but that's another layer of the experience that makes speaking more mentally demanding. There's a lot going on. So those are the first two tasks. Task one is we're mentally identifying what it is we're going to talk about. Task two is we have to open our mouths and say the words. And then there's what I call task number three. I call this the third task. The third task is where we begin to apply nuance and we begin to be strategic, not about the content itself, but about how we are going to express that content. So the content itself is the raw information. Maybe it's a marketing plan. Maybe it's a chart. Maybe it's a slide with an image on it. As we are sharing that, we are also figuring out, how do I be persuasive? How do I be compelling? How do I sound crisp? And that is different than just, what am I talking about? What am I talking about? You can think of as, what is on the slide? What is the thing that I'm explaining? But the third task is, how am I explaining it? Am I explaining it in four sentences or one? Am I starting with this part or am I starting with that part? So there's infinite different ways that we can frame information. So in addition to the information itself, there's this finessing and framing of the information. And I refer to this as the third task. And some examples of quote unquote third tasks are sharing things in a way that's persuasive, sharing things in a way that's direct and assertive, sharing things in a way that's concise, right? Because there's a difference between just sharing information and not really thinking about how you're going to share it. You're just kind of dumping it out onto your audience versus shaping it and adjusting it. Shaping it and adjusting it is what I think of as the third task. And it's very, very challenging because we already have two other tasks that we are doing. We are figuring out what to talk about. We are opening our mouths to speak. And now on top of that, we are also thinking about, how do I say this in a way that's going to be really compelling? How do I make it compelling to my audience? So the third task is very mentally demanding because we are doing a lot when we are speaking. And being concise is an example of a third task because sharing something in a way that's concise is distinctly different than just sharing something. When you want to share it in a way that's concise, you're upping the ante. You're demanding more of yourself. You're asking yourself to refine it, simplify it, trim the excess, trim the fluff. So you're adding on more of a burden. And anytime we have a third task, and anytime we're adding on more of a burden, or we're raising the bar on the quality of our verbal communication, which is really what we're doing when we're adding a third task, what we're saying is, I want to go from sharing information to sharing it in the most compelling, powerful way possible. And in doing that, we're raising the standards. This is hard, like I mentioned, because when we're speaking, we're already doing a few different tasks. So what this means is, if we are adding on a third task, it has to be very simple. If our third task is too complicated, it will be overwhelming for us and we won't be able to accomplish it. We won't be able to think of the content of what we're saying and open our mouths and speak and make sure that we're doing it in a super effective way. We won't be able to accomplish all those things if the third task isn't simple. And the thing about conciseness is it's not a command that is simple for our minds to understand. When we say be concise, that is not something that we instinctively know how to easily respond to. And the best way for me to explain this to you is to contrast it with some examples of quote unquote third tasks that are easy to respond to. So here are some examples of ways you can raise the bar on your communication, add in a third task to make your verbal communication even better. But they're examples of things that are more intuitive and instinctive to do. So one example is speak louder. Speaking louder doesn't require us to analyze very much. It might be hard on an emotional level because we're taking up more space, but we all know exactly what that is. When we hear speak louder, we all know exactly how it should sound and exactly what to do. Another example of a simple, straightforward third task is speak slower. Again, this might be hard if you're feeling nervous and part of you wants to speak up, but we all know what is being asked of us when we say speak slower. Another example is pause. We all know what it means to pause. So these are examples of things where when we set this as a goal and we add this in as a third task, be louder, talk slower, pause, those are simple enough that we can layer that in and not feel overwhelmed. The problem with conciseness is when we say be concise, it is not nearly as simple for us to understand and implement. This is why people struggle with this, because what the heck does it mean, be concise? How are our brains supposed to process that? It's just not something that we are wired to respond to. And so what we have to do is we have to find a bridge. We have to find a bridge tool that helps us be concise. And the bridge tool has to be something as simple and intuitive and easy to understand as commands like talk slower or pause or talk louder. We have to get our bridge tool to that level of understanding and simplicity in order for us to layer it on as a third task. Now, there are a few different ways that you can do this, and I'm going to walk you through a few options that will help you be concise without you having to tell yourself, be concise. Because I guarantee you, if you're trying to be concise by telling yourself in your head that you need to be concise, it will be very hard to be concise. We need to find an easier path, and I'm going to give you three options. And I want you to choose the one that feels most intuitive to you. Because remember, the goal is we're trying to make this as easy and intuitive as possible. So I have three tools that I love to use as bridge tools to help with conciseness. The first two are a variation on one another. And the third one is one that has been so powerful for me in my corporate career. And I think it's going to surprise you what it is. So tool number one for being concise, instead of thinking I have to be concise, I want you to think I have to explain this in parts. This is much easier for us to visualize and understand. We intuitively understand what it means to break something into parts. So for example, if I have a slide that I'm walking my audience through, instead of me saying, oh, I better be concise, when I'm writing my talking points for the slide, I want to think about how can I explain this in parts? That is so much more digestible for my brain because I can get in there and figure out what those parts are. Now, you can use parts as a method when you're writing talking points for a slide, but you can also use it when you're contributing on the spot. It might be something like, okay, I have two thoughts that I want to share in response to your suggestion. Already, I'm being more concise simply by breaking up my contribution into two parts. So it doesn't have to be super fancy if you're doing it on the spot. It could be as simple as that. So that's the first bridge tool. The second bridge tool is explaining something step by step. Thinking about it as almost being like an instruction booklet where there's a step one and a step two and a step three and a step four. When you break something into steps and you're explaining it step by step, it forces you to simplify it because you can only cover one thing at a time. So your mind starts to sort it and sequence it. And when it's sorted and sequenced, you will deliver it more concisely. Now, step by step is going to be most useful when you have time to reflect and plan on what you're going to share. So that bridge tool is going to be most useful if you're writing talking points for slides or if you're prepping for a meeting. If you have something that's included in that and you're having troubles being concise, tell yourself to break it down step by step. Don't tell yourself to be concise. It's not going to help. Tell yourself, how can I explain this step by step as if it's an instruction booklet? And this is very similar to parts, but one might resonate with you more than the other. So for some people, step by step really clicks. And for some people, breaking it into parts really clicks, but both are quite similar. Now, the third one, this is my superpower. This is literally my secret, and I am very excited to share it with you. This is the most unexpected bridge tool to help you be more concise, but it works so well. This bridge tool is a mindset tool, and the tool is when you're speaking, imagine you're speaking to someone who is 7 or 8 years old, or maybe even younger, maybe even like 5 or 6 years old. Here's why this is so powerful. When we are speaking to kids, we know that we need to keep it simple. But not only that, when we are speaking to kids, we tend to feel more confident because as the adult, we are smarter. So when we imagine that we're explaining something to a kid, not only do we naturally start to simplify it and therefore make it more concise, but we actually feel confident inside because we get into this headspace of, oh, I'm going to explain this to this adorable little kid. And this can really, really help because often people go in the opposite direction. And when people are speaking to executives, they think, oh, I have to be super fancy. It has to be super complicated. And so that stresses them out. But what you want to remember is conciseness is actually a form of simplicity. We're trying to keep it simple. We're trying to make it easy to understand. So we don't need to put pressure on ourselves to fancy it up. We want to reduce the pressure and ask ourselves, if I was explaining this idea to a little kid, how would I explain it? And then all of a sudden, your brain gets to work, getting rid of all of the extraneous information and simplifying it as much as possible. That has helped me so much, and this will help you stand out so much because in the end of the day, the people that have the biggest impact in a corporate environment are the people that can take complicated things and make them seem simple. This is what will help you stand out because for executives to get things done, they need to get the information they need to make big decisions. And a lot of the times, the information that they need to get is messy and complicated. But when you can take what's messy and complicated and make it simple for them, you make their decision process faster, better, and easier. And when you do that for them, they can add more value for the company. And when you are helping executives add more value for the company because your communication is so concise and crisp, you become very, very valuable. So this is a really powerful skill for you to develop. And the bridge tool is, how would I explain this to a little kid? So in summary, if you struggle to be concise, it's not because you're inherently bad at verbal communication. It's because being concise is an example of a third task. And when we demand more of our verbal communication beyond just deciding what to say and beyond just opening our mouths to speak, if we're going to demand another task of ourselves, we have to make it very simple and easy. And the way that you can make conciseness very simple and easy is by identifying a bridge tool that is more approachable for your brain to respond to. The three bridge tools I talked about are 1, break it into parts, 2, explain it step by step, and 3, say it the way you'd say it to a 6-year-old. So that is how I think about conciseness. And this also really shows you the power of bridge tools. Bridge tools are how we take a very challenging verbal communication goal, like being concise, like being persuasive, like being direct, like being assertive, and we break it down into something more simple, and we break it down into something that we can actually respond to. This is how I teach communication. And if you resonate with this, this is how I teach executive communication in the Art of Speaking Up Academy. I'm teaching you bridge tools. I'm taking these big, challenging verbal communication skills, and I'm teaching them using bridge tools that are simple and approachable, yet highly effective. Because what I have found is when it comes to learning how to elevate the quality of your verbal communication, you need a way to make it really, really doable. When it's really doable, you will actually be able to implement it. And the more you implement it, the more it is going to become just a natural part of how you communicate. And when that happens, it is going to help you have that bigger impact that I talked about and really become a valued contributor and thought leader in your company. And not only that, but bridge tools give you confidence. When you have simple, easy to apply tools for all different kinds of scenarios and situations, you go into meetings and rooms feeling prepared and feeling like you know what you're doing. This is why I love the way that I teach verbal communication, both here on the podcast and in the deep dives that I teach in the Art of Speaking Up Academy. And if you're ready to get really, really good at verbal communication and become really impressive in the way that you speak to your boss and leaders at your company, I would love to invite you to join me in the Academy, where you are going to learn the fundamentals of executive communication, and you're going to do the mindset work to help you feel confident about yourself and your voice. I am so excited for this next cohort and so excited to meet you if you decide to join us. Like I mentioned, enrollment is going to open on March 13th. Add yourself to the waitlist so that you are first to know by heading to jessguzzettcoaching.com/academy. Thank you so much for tuning in, and stick around because I have lots more content coming out this week. Have an amazing day. Don't forget to choose your preferred bridge tool and practice it and apply it as soon as you can. I will talk to you soon. Bye.